And we're off. Welcome in to the Daily Tap and the Snow Tap Podcast Network. Your boy Nolan Murphy filling in for the CEO Charlie Trischler here on a Father's Day. Congratulations to all the dads out there, a little Father's Day. Hopefully you all know you are fathers. Snowtap WI, it is a website. Check them out, Instagram, Facebook. Got a bunch of big podcast plans that we will be rolling out. Sounds like Charlie will be rolling out come football season. So excited to see what the CEO and founder of Snowtap has in order. But it is Father's Day. Two majors in the books this year and two daily taps for Murph. I also joined you guys after Patrick Reed won the Masters. But my guy, Brooks Koepka, West Palm Beach's own, where I live right now, Cardinal Newman alum, back-to-back U.S. Open titles, first person to do it since Curtis Strange, who was on the Fox broadcast all week long, did it in 1988, 89, and Brooks was so fearless, man, shooting a 68 on a Sunday, knowing that Tommy Fleetwood was in the clubhouse with that 63. DJ and Brooks, best friends, hang out off the golf course all the time, practice a bunch here in South Florida at a club called Medalist. Butch Harmon, they both show or share a little bit from a teaching standpoint of their golf stroke. These guys love to work out together. They love to have a good time off the golf course, and I'm sure Brooks will be celebrating with his smoke show girlfriend, Jenna Sims. Check her out on Instagram. She's a looker. They'll be having a good time following his second U.S. Open victory and second win in four majors that he has started. He missed the Masters this year. Brooks Koepka's the man. I mean, definitely in terms of just how you look at golfers, this young group of golfers, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, DJ. I mean, to have two majors in the last calendar year, that's pretty impressive to say the least. So he's someone to be reckoned with. Brooks is a killer in the right way, and he's never afraid. He was not afraid at all. The USGA got chewed up at Shinnecock Hills. That'll be the story probably as we look back in years. Phil Mickelson pulling that stunt on number 13 Saturday afternoon, and just the course really being unplayable for the most part. So Brooks Koepka, he's going to move up in the world golf rankings. He's 9 overall. That is set to move after winning the U.S. Open. He may pass John Rahm at number 5. But it was a fun U.S. Open. I know a lot of people hated on it. Great to watch it on Fox. They did an amazing job with the coverage. And I'm really looking forward to a fun summer of golf. We are just about a month or so away from the Open Championship at Carnoustie. That'll be the 147th British Open. Enough golf, though. Not definitely a snow tap hot button all the time. Again, Nolan Murphy here filling in for your boy and my boy, Charlie Trischler, the CEO here on Father's Day, giving Chuck a little day off. Switching our focus to Brewers, probably a weekend series we knew eventually was coming. The Brewers lose 2-3 to the Phillies. The Phillies getting us back for last weekend's series win by the Brewers. Good to see Eric Thames hitting two home runs today. The Brewers almost clawed back, losing 10-9, which is pretty surprising given the fact that we knew pitching-wise it would be a difficult game for the Brewers. But Eric Thames, two home runs, I think continuing to, you know, make that conversation for Craig Counsell pretty interesting between how he splits Domingo Santana, Ryan Braun, Jesus Aguilar, and Thames' playing time. The Brewers, I believe, just have a crazy stretch of games. I think they have 30 games in 31 days. So all those guys are going to play, which you hear Brian Anderson and Rock talk about all the time in the broadcast. But I think you're going to just try to have to get the hot hand. And, you know, the fact that the Brewers were able to get, you know, four runs on Nola, who's by far the best pitcher for the Phillies, definitely a good sign. Not Chase Anderson's best start, kind of reverted back to how he had pitched at home before last week. And he gets most of the damage, those six runs allowed. I'm still a little bit worried about the Brewers starting pitching. It would have been nice to win this series, but still, before the Cubs play Sunday Night Baseball this evening, the Brewers, if the Cubs lose, will still be a half game up. Obviously, Cardinals-Cubs has to be on Sunday Night Baseball. That is literally sickening to hear. Much rather watch Yankees-Red Sox if I had to watch those two rivalries. But the Brewers, we'll see how the next few weeks look. I will hopefully be at the Brewers-Braves series the weekend after 4th of July with the Snowtap crew. Plans already in the works. So if we do, when we do decide on a day, not if, when we decide on the day, we will, I'm sure, Let those in the Snow Tap Insider Club know. Maybe spread our wings a little bit. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Brewers in person. It's been 5 years, if you can believe it, since your boy saw the Brewers in person. A little embarrassing. I have seen them on the road, so do not kill me too much for that. But the Brewers got a pretty winnable series coming up against the Pirates. The Pirates have definitely faded since their early season kind of surprising start, I would say. So take care of business against the Pirates on the road in Pittsburgh. And then the worst fans of baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals, they come to town starting on Thursday for a big four-gamer. And after that, it's pretty easy. You know, Kansas City, Cincinnati, even, you know, Minnesota, till we get to that Atlanta series after the 4th of July. So the Brewers could go on a little run here, you know, maybe a rip off 10 of 13, something like that. Definitely would be good, as the Cubs look like they really are legit. Again, Daily Tap, Nolan Murphy here filling in for the CEO, Charlie Trichler. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Happy Father's Day to my great dad, FCM, Fred Murphy. Some other things going on in the sports world. Took in a little World Cup this weekend. Brazil surprisingly drawing against Switzerland earlier today on Sunday. Mexico beating Germany, which is probably not an upset of the tournament, but one of the bigger surprises. Germany obviously a favorite with Brazil. So you got to remember how long the World Cup takes. Brazil doesn't play again, I don't think, until Thursday. So really, in this opening round of pool play, they're all going to play three games within like a three-week span. So this thing does drag itself out a little bit. So we will kind of see with the World Cup. Also, I'm just getting this news, but Brewers, Adrian Hauser vomiting twice in the mound, finishing the frame. I've definitely thrown up and kept drinking, but never anything in the professional line of things. So Adrian Hauser, he's got to be better than Boone Logan. So he's definitely, he earned another good mark in my book, if you're keeping score at home. He seems like a badass, Adrian Hauser. Don't have a huge feel for him. But vomiting on the mound and continuing. I know it was a hot day in Milwaukee, maybe a long night, Cathedral Square last night, or some of the Brewers, or maybe who knows what Adrian Hauser was up to, but hats off to him. Just a hilarious story, even though it is involving vomiting. But yeah, we mentioned the World Cup a little bit. Not too much there. I picked Belgium to win it all. I think the other big story in sports, and it's going to heat up Monday morning, as the NBA kind of took the weekend off, I felt like, after that Kawhi Leonard bomb was dropped by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and my boy Chris Haynes, who covers the Warriors. The draft is Thursday night. There's a bunch of teams that cannot trade their actual NBA draft pick in the first round until they actually select a player. Now, the Bucks at 17, there's a lot of different options. I don't think that Kevin Knox from Kentucky is going to fall to 17. He is really gained some steam. Luka Doncic, who I think should be the, you know, number one overall pick over DeAndre Ayton, actually, in the NBA draft. His team, Real Madrid, won again today. So they will have a chance to win, like, the EuroLeague title Tuesday night. So Doncic could be at the NBA draft, but he is falling severely. For some reason, Marvin Bagley is getting a lot of hype. I don't like Marvin Bagley at all. It could be from the bad taste of, you know, Jabari. Him and Jabari, very similar. Not in terms of total traits, but just coming out of Duke. Same, you know, both freshmen, both kind of playing the same position. Both kind of tweeners, too. I think that Wendell Carter out of Duke will actually end up being better than Marvin Bagley. I kind of see his ceiling, you know, settling in between Serge Ibaka and maybe Chris Bosh, Al Horford, in terms of just an ability to, you know, be a defensive guy at the center and really switch on everybody. It'd be hilarious if Trae Young was there at 17 for the Bucks. I love Lonnie Walker, the Miami shooting guard. Michael Porter's not going to be there, unfortunately. But it's fun to dream about, I would say. Michael Porter somehow falling all the way to 17 for the Bucks. But the Bucks have shown, I still... You know, it's kind of funny. Since DJ Wilson has not really played his first year, but kind of redshirted, I've actually grown to like him a little bit more. So we'll see who the Bucks are able to pick, but they've had good luck. You know, maybe a lot of that was John Hammond. Let's just God know we don't pick another Rashad Vaughn, because he already found himself out of the team and somewhere else. And we just do not need that in terms of another Bucks blown draft pick. Eric Bledsoe, I'd love to see him traded on draft night. I'd love the Lakers to panic and somehow we work out a Bledsoe for Lonzo Ball trade. I'd be willing to trade Jabari also on draft night. I don't think that's crazy. I just have no interest in re-signing Jabari at the moment. I also don't want Dante DiVincenzo from Villanova. I think he just had a hot tournament. But some guys as I would focus on at number 17, Lonnie Walker. He was a baller as a freshman at Miami. Streaky shooter, but definitely a prototypical two-guard and a poor man's Donovan Mitchell. Kyrie Thomas from Creighton. He's another shooting guard I think would fit well next to Giannis. A sleeper is Mitchell Robinson. He was supposed to go to Western Kentucky and then ended up not playing college basketball. He's a seven-footer. He may be the center of the future, but I like him a lot more than like a Kata Bates Diop from Ohio State. That to me, just in terms of a big man, doesn't do much for me, even though he's listed as a small forward. He's 6'8". And another name I'll throw out there, Zaire Smith. I mean, he was the main guy at Texas Tech. He's another shooting guard. I'd be surprised if the Bucks don't pick a big shooting guard or a big 2-3, because I think with their lineup, they just need more consistent shooting with Giannis and Middleton on the floor, and a guy that can probably spot up a little bit better than Bledsoe. So with that, you know, the NBA trade season is officially here. Free agency is right around the corner, and I think some big things will be brewing Thursday night in terms of players that are able to be traded and so on and so forth. I don't know if Kawhi Leonard's going to go by Thursday, but the bidding for sure has already started. And I would assume that the courting for Paul George to one of the LA teams or somewhere else has begun. And LeBron James, we know, is back channeling with his boys, Rich Paul and Maverick Carter at Clutch Sports. And they're trying to figure out if they're going to go to Philly, which I don't think so, or if they're going to go to LA, which is a little more likely. But I still think LeBron is staying in Cleveland. That is all we have here. Daily Tap. Hope you guys all enjoyed it. Happy Father's Day. And I'm sure I'll be back on the Snow Tap Podcast Network before you know it with the boys. Enjoy your Sunday, everybody.